A very good evening, Zimbabwe. Welcome to Live Talk. We're coming to you live from Studio 7 at the Voice of America in Washington this Friday, August the 18th, 2023. I'm your host, Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye. And tonight on Live Talk, we are looking at events unfolding in Zimbabwe as the political parties ramp up their campaign rallies and foreign observers roll out their plans ahead of the general elections scheduled for August the 23rd. Commonwealth and SADC observer missions in the country to observe the elections today held their first briefings on the Zimbabwe elections, calling on all political parties and supporters to uphold standards for credible, inclusive and transparent elections. Addressing journalists in Zimbabwe, the Commonwealth Observer Mission Chairperson Amina Mohammed gave a breakdown of their program while in the country.
Over the coming days, we'll be meeting stakeholders, including government representatives, political parties, security agencies, civil society groups, citizen and international observer groups, diplomats, and the media. From the 21st of August, we'll deploy our observers across various parts of Zimbabwe to observe the voting, counting, and results management process, as well as meet with other stakeholders in respective locations. On election day, we'll observe the opening, voting, closing, counting, and results processes. We'll issue an interim statement on our preliminary findings on the 25th of August before members of the group depart Zimbabwe on the 29th of August. Ladies and gentlemen, a final report will then be prepared and submitted to the Commonwealth Secretary General and subsequently shared with relevant stakeholders and made publicly available.
That there was the Commonwealth Observer Mission Chairperson Amina Mohammed in Harare. Speaking at the same meeting, the head of the SADC Electoral Observation Mission, Mr. Nevis Mumba, says a free and fair election will result in peace and stability in Zimbabwe.
...2023 harmonized elections in the Republic of Zimbabwe consists of 68 personnel. They are from 9 SADC member states, namely Republic of Angola, Republic of Botswana, Republic of Eswatini, Republic of Malawi, Republic of Mozambique, Republic of Namibia, Republic of South Africa, United Republic of Tanzania, and Republic of Zambia. Our observers have been deployed to the 10 provinces of Zimbabwe, namely Harare, Bulawayo, Maswingo, Matabeleland North, Matabeleland South, Migrants, Manicaland, Mashonaland East, Mashonaland Central, and Mashonaland West. The CM observations will focus on the pre-election and post-election, on the actual election, which include political parties' campaigns, the voting day, and the process of the counting of the ballot papers. To that end, the CEOM has two components, short-term observation, which we call SDO, covering the period from the 10th to the 24th of August 2023, and long-term observation, which we call LTO, covering the period from the 25th of August to the 1st of September 2023. We started stakeholder engagements in earnest since our arrival in Harare to appreciate the political, legal, and security situation in the context of the elections in order to better inform the chairperson of the Organ of Politics, Defense, Security Corporation, His Excellency Hakainde Hichilema, President of the Republic of Zambia.
That there was the head of the SADC Electoral Observation Mission, Mr. Nevis Mumba, in Harare. Meanwhile, rights group Crisis in Zimbabwe Coalition has castigated the Zimbabwean government for denying access to some journalists and organizations who were planning to cover the August 23rd elections. Among some of those denied permission are two reporters from VOA Zimbabwe who are Washington-based Ntungameli Nkomo and Joga Kandemiri. A South African-based German media house called ARD, German Radio and Television, yesterday, renowned also researcher and former SAB broadcaster Chris Maraleng of the Good Governance Africa was deported from Zimbabwe. VOA Acting Deputy Director Yolanda Lopez issued a statement saying she's deeply troubled by the decision not to give appropriate clearance for the journalists to travel and cover general elections in Zimbabwe. She said, quote, "We are deeply troubled to learn that many of our international journalist colleagues were denied clearance to travel to Zimbabwe prior to Wednesday's national elections without factual and candid coverage of all candidates and issues." Lopez continued, "The Zimbabwe electoral will be denied access to critical news and information essential to voters as they head to the polls. VOA appeals to all officials to ensure open access to all media seeking to cover the Zimbabwe elections," unquote. Terence Chitapi of the Crisis in Zimbabwe Coalition speaks to Studio 7's Godwin Mangunjga about the denial of access. That was Terence Chitapi of Crisis in Zimbabwe Coalition speaking to Studio 7's Godwin Mangunjga. Stay tuned as we take a brief break. We'll be right back.
In times of change, when the world seems uncertain, and what we hear doesn't reflect what we see, we seek the truth. When we are told only part of the story, we lose trust. In moments of crisis, our dreams, hopes, and wishes for a better tomorrow depend on a free press. At Voice of America, we bring you the stories that people take risks to see. We connect the world and unite it with truth. At Voice of America, we show you the whole picture.
For those that have just joined us, please note that we are streaming live on all our Facebook pages, VOA Shona, VOA Studio 7, and VOA Ndebele. And we're also live on YouTube at VOA Zimbabwe. And to discuss about the Zimbabwean elections, we are joined by Chris Maraleng via Skype, who is the CEO of Good Governance in Africa. We also have Pearl Matibe, a US-based political analyst, and Wilbert Mandinde of the Zimbabwe Human Rights NGO Forum. Welcome to the program. I will start with you, Mr. Maraleng. Were you given reasons for your deportation from Zimbabwe?
No, in actual fact, Marvelous, we were not given reasons for the deportation of myself and three other colleagues. In actual fact, we are not describing what occurred to us as a deportation. We are simply and can only see it as an illegal ejection of ourselves from Zimbabwe. And certainly this illegal removal of myself and my colleagues really makes us question what the real reasons were behind our illegal removal from that country.
Take us through what happened when you arrived in Zimbabwe. You've been there before. What was so different this time?
Yes, I've been there before, Marvelous, and I've not only just been in Zimbabwe, but in actual fact, I was born in Zimbabwe to South African parents. The interesting thing is that my arrival in Bulawayo was almost something of a homecoming, as I hadn't been to Bulawayo for some time. However, I'd regularly make trips to visit our partner, the SAPES Trust, in Harare regularly. When we arrived at Bulawayo's international airport, we were encountered, obviously, by immigration officers who were very courteous and indeed were expecting us to arrive because we had declared our intentions to the Zimbabwean embassy in Pretoria, indicating to them that we were going to go to Zimbabwe to undertake in research in and around the elections, but more importantly, concerning the state of governance in that country. So we did not experience any sort of difficulty in getting into Zimbabwe. That, interestingly enough, put us at ease because we thought that we had complied with all the requirements and hence we were permitted into Zimbabwe. We were surprised that really 48 hours later, we would be removed from Zimbabwe in such a disrespectful a manner that contravenes the rule of law.
And how are you feeling about what the Zimbabwean authorities did to you?
I'm really angry about it, but at the same time, I'm not surprised by this removal of myself and my colleagues from Zimbabwe, because this is really in character of the oppressive, tyrannical regime that is ZANU-PF, that is the governing party in Zimbabwe. It does indicate to us that there is clearly something that the Zimbabwean authorities led by ZANU-PF do not want the international community and indeed the regional community like ourselves coming from South Africa to see. And it makes us question the prospects of having a free and fair election in Zimbabwe and an outcome that genuinely represents the will of the people.
Thank you. They were hearing from Chris Maralang, who was recently deported from Zimbabwe. We also have Mr. Wilbert Mandinde. How is the human rights situation ahead of elections in Zimbabwe?
The human rights situation in the country is not easy at the moment. We have recorded a number of human rights violations. I do not have the statistics of yet. But we have represented quite a number of people who have been arrested on various allegations, and the people are mainly from the opposition who are being arrested on serious allegations, some of removing posters, some of violence, some of contravening the provisions of MOPA. But surprisingly to us, these are the issues. These are the people only associated with the opposition. No one from the ruling party is being arrested. At the same time, we are very concerned at the moment about the fact that the Zimbabwe Electoral Commission is refusing to accredit some of the local observers. Whilst indeed we saw the deportation yesterday of my other colleagues on the other line yesterday, it becomes even more when you then suddenly find that in Zimbabwe and themselves are not being allowed to observe their own elections. And we do have quite a number of civil society leaders who have now been refused accreditation by the accreditation committee to observe the elections, including the former director of the Zimbabwe Human Rights NGO Forum, Dr. Musa Kika, who has also been removed, who refused the accreditation. No reasons are being given for the refusal, and it looks like I will end up having to go to court again to compel the accreditation committee to provide as a reason. The issue really is, what's worrying also is the fact that this election is playing out in the courtrooms and likely to play out in the courtrooms more than it's playing out in the ballot box as it is supposed to be. We are worried equally about the number of times that the Constitution has been amended at the moment through what I would call statutory instruments. But the law is clear that after the presidential proclamation of election, any amendment subsequent thereto shall not apply in the current election. But because what we have now seen is that instead of passing laws in the proper manner, the is resort
to sanctuary instruments, which are then becoming effective despite the fact that a proclamation was already made by the president. And that they should therefore not have been effective at this particular time, but that they should have been effective much later or in the next election in 2028. So we are worried about all these issues, and we certainly hope that some of these issues will need to be addressed. I think you are aware, and there's been discussion regarding the incident in Glenview, where a CCC supporter was killed there. And yesterday we saw the police stating that the supporter was run over by a lorry. And it indicates a partisan approach being taken, really, by the police. And our hope really would have been an institution such as the Zimbabwe Republic Police. Our state institutions should not be partisan. We have received information to the effect that police officers are said to be voting, voting for postal ballots, and are being required to vote in the presence of their superiors. There are no observers there, and already we are aware of the fact that one of the opposition parties has complained about this particular issue, that this is being done inconveniently.
So, Thank you there. I'll come back to you, but let's now cross over to Ms. Matibe. Our reporters were not cleared by the Zimbabwe government to travel and cover the elections. What is your take, judging from what you've seen happening here in the United States? Ms. Matibe?
Sorry, my name is not very clear.
I was speaking to Ms. Pearl Matibe.
Yes, I was just saying that it's great to see that Zimbabweans will be able to go to the ballot now in 2023 in just a few days. However, I think when we are assessing and evaluating the space in which this universal suffrage is taking place, remember that in 2018, the international observers prepared a final report, and part of that report included their assessment of the media and how the media covers elections and how the Zimbabwe Election Commission handles media in Zimbabwe. So what we do know, and which I'm sure all the audience already knows, is that the media landscape in Zimbabwe is dominated by state-owned entities, government-controlled media. But the media does play a role in terms of what legislation governs how the media should behave during elections. We have Section 160J of the Electoral Act, right, that outlines the required legal framework for media coverage of elections and the conduct of media, how they access to broadcasting and so on. But we know that it hasn't been a level playing field, which is concerning. I'm just hoping that there will be a peaceful day on election day. In terms of the internet, because sometimes we have seen on the continent of Africa governments who might shut down the internet. We know from the Freedom House report that in Zimbabwe, access to the media and how the electorate participates on social media has very much increased, right? Mm-hmm. Even UNESCO had put out a report in that matter, because at the end of, I believe it was last year, UNESCO actually mentioned in a report which they did that.
Thank you there, Ms. Matibe, please just that, hold on. If I can just take a caller quickly. Hello, caller.
They found that in Zimbabwe they were 14.
Ai, watiri, wadi, tukutaura nani koko? Okay, taurai wotinzwe. Muri kuona sei nyaya yegadziriro iyi uyezve nekurambidzwa kwevamwe vatori venhau kuti vauye kuzowanikwa vachitapa nhau zviri kuitika ikoko kuZimbabwe.
Zviri kuitika pakurambwa kwavatori venhau zvekutoreva kuti there's something was going on by the ground in terms of transparency by the United States. But then I used to be, to China, I would like to cover the jaw in terms of everything, so that people they can see kuti zvikavhuri zvechikini kubva kuti zvindakope. So it's like you use it and say to someone varambe vamwe vanhu vachigumisa kuti vatore nhau.
Imi sevamwe vachange vari kuenda kunovhota, zvakamira sei kwamuri pari zvino?
For the meantime, the bonus is to create a different game for GZ. Like now, people that are doing my things are fewer. So, the garage, the political, the garage, the garage, especially. So, you know, you can So people they are using open machine. I find it very challenging. I am asking the very big votes. You will need to talk to one of the party that you want to
talk to. We just lost our caller there, so I will switch over to Mr. Chris Marilang, who is on Skype. Mr. Marilang, if the international media is not allowed to be in Zimbabwe at this time, what does this mean, Mr. Marilang?
It really calls into question the credibility of these elections. As Good Governance Africa, we are simply interested in one thing, which is the creation of an environment that will allow for the expression of the will of the people. But more importantly, that occurs in an environment that encourages good and inclusive governance. Good and inclusive governance, in our view, really talks about the propensity of governments in Africa, including the Zimbabwean government, to act in ways that enhance transparency and accountability. I think that the conditions that we have seen, as expressed by my colleague Wilbert, who spoke so well about the conditions on the ground, simply indicate that there is an uneven playing field as we go into these elections. And certainly, there's a lack of transparency, particularly with regards to the conduct of the Zimbabwe Electoral Commission and other institutions like the judiciary in Zimbabwe that are increasingly playing an important role in the decisions prior to these elections. My concern here, Marvelous, is that what we will see emerging from this process of elections is really another illegitimate government being put into place. And it's most likely going to be this autocratic regime known as ZANU-PF that will ultimately win in these elections.
Ms. Matsibe, can you weigh in? What should the Zimbabwean government do to ensure transparency in this election? You just heard there what Mr. Marilang was saying.
Well, certainly, as I mentioned, the whole purpose of inviting international observers when they make their recommendations, I can say, and we know from the report of the 2018 elections, there's a whole section, right, that addresses transparency, like my colleague was just mentioning a few minutes ago. It is incumbent on the incumbent candidate, because he's the one who is has the authority with the institutions that are running the elections. In fact, the Zimbabwe Electoral Commission, usually outside of elections, the way that things work in Zimbabwe is that you've got the Broadcasting Authority of Zimbabwe, you've got the Zimbabwe Media Commission, right? But when it comes to elections, during an election cycle, the responsibility for monitoring and regulating political media now falls under the ambit of the ZEC. So ZEC has got a tremendous responsibility where they are supposed to, make sure that the Zimbabwean citizens receive their rights. They have right to access to information, which is already enshrined in the Constitution. So ZEC has got a tremendous responsibility in assisting and helping the existing media houses in how they are covering elections. I would just encourage right now all independent media houses to do in-depth reporting, investigate stories. That is the purpose, to make sure that things are happening in the public interest. I know that my colleague just now was speaking about good governance. I think that the state before the elections and including after the elections, it doesn't just end on election day. But I am concerned and hopeful at the same time that elections will be conducted in a peaceful manner, that the media will play their fourth estate role in the freedom of expression. These civil liberties are extremely important. What I can say here from Washington is that I will be monitoring and watching very closely what will be happening on the ground in Zimbabwe. The Zimbabweans do have a right to their freedom of expression. The legal framework in Zimbabwe has been extremely harsh, right? We've got very harsh laws which are still in effect. And there are some new laws which have recently been adopted, and their provisions are just as draconian as those of the ones which have been replaced. I mean, the amended Penal Code of the Official Secrets Act and the new Cybersecurity and Data Protection Act, these are all issues which hamstring journalism. Uh-huh. So, you know, in theory, we have to allow journalists to be able to do their work freely and without fear. They should not be without having to self-censor. This is going to be a real challenge for journalists, but I do encourage independent journalists to be able to do that, including women journalists, because I think even in the journalism space, there is an inequality amongst reporters, because even women journalists do not get afforded equal status as they're trying to do their reporting. There should be equal coverage between political parties, including opposition parties and candidates. And that has not been happening. It did not happen in 2018. So while we are hopeful that, you know, things will be free and fair, but we're already experiencing that that is not the case, right?
While I still have you on the line, Ms. Matibe, we had Chris Muchangwa of ZANU-PF taking a swipe at U.S. democracy. How do you respond to that?
Well, he is welcome. Everybody, you know what? Every individual on planet Earth has got the right to express their opinions. So I do welcome his opinions. But what I do know is that I have covered multiple administrations here in elections in the United States. Yes, there are still flaws, and yes, there's some polarization between the Democratic Party and the Republican Party. However, the difference is that the United States democratic institutions are somewhat more strengthened than the ones that we find in Zimbabwe. And so democracy is not easy, and we do see democracy playing out in the election space. Right now in the United States, we're already in the primary season, right, for the Republican Party, where we see the former President Donald Trump is the front runner, and there are many other candidates. But that is democracy.
Thank you.
And so, yes, of course, I welcome his views. It is important that we have divergent views. So any debate where there's divergent views is absolutely welcome. Thank you there.
I understand we lost Mr. Mandinde, who's on the ground in Zimbabwe. But I'll cross over to you, Mr. Marilang, for your last word. You have done a lot of research on Zimbabwe. Are general elections in Zimbabwe going to meet the international standards from what you saw?
From what I saw on the ground in Zimbabwe and from my observations from previous elections, which I've had an opportunity to basically see, is that the situation on the ground does not create an enabling environment for the conduct of free and fair elections. My colleague talked to various legislative provisions, for example, the Patriot Act that prohibits people from...
Thank you there, Mr. Marilang. Unfortunately, time is not on our side, and that brings us to the end of our show. We'd like to thank all our guests and, of course, you, our viewers and listeners at home. Signing off in Washington, I'm Marvelous Nhlanga Nyahuye in Washington, saying goodnight, Zimbabwe.